Now we do welcome everybody to the meeting again this evening on behalf of the saints that meet here in Randallstown. We do really appreciate you coming to listen to the Word of God, and we do announce the meetings through to Friday night. The only change will be on Friday night at 8:15 due to the children's meeting. So we do thank you for coming and trust that God will bless you for being here. And we intend to keep our studies within this book of Proverbs that we embarked on last night. So we're going to read again from the book, Proverbs chapter 1, once more, Proverbs chapter 1. And again, just reading from verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. Now, just notice verse 4, I'll be referring to this in a bit of detail, to give subtlety or prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now over to chapter 4. Chapter number 4. And verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, just over the page, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Over to chapter 8. Then, verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now into chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And we pointed out last night that there were three types of proverbs, as you read them, three at least, but this is one of the contrasting, where you have the conjunction, but he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, and in contrast, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now over to chapter 20, just for a couple more, and that will do. I will be referring to others. Chapter 20 and verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And maybe verse 24. Verse 29 even. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the grey head. And that is really what we would call not a contrasting proverb, but a confirmatory proverb. So the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the grey head. Now that will do just for now, and we look to God to bless his word. Now, I did give an overview of the book last night. I can't go back and do that for any who are here. But by and large, we just pointed out that the revelation of the only wise God, that expression in the New Testament, is found in this book. And therefore, the revelation of an only wise God is found in the very heart of our Bible, the center book of those five books that are in the middle of your Old Testament, 17 of history, 17 of prophecy, and the books of wisdom, Proverbs, right in the center. So a revelation of the heart of God in the heart of your Bible. And we thought of the pathway of the Proverbs, beginning with the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. It's above my head this evening. But just not stopping there, a knowledge of the holy is understanding. And therefore wisdom is coming from that knowledge of God. Not based on human intellect or intelligence, but a knowledge of God, his word and his will, so that we might know what to do or say in any given situation as we make our way through life. Now this evening on the card it said, wise people. And behaving wisely. Because when we come into this world, this smart world that I talked about last night, with all its smart technology that wants us to be smarter, but a God who wants us to be wiser. And how do we navigate this smart world? Because not only is it full of smart technology, it's full of smart people. Well, the organization United Nations today announced, interestingly, that the population division of that organization announced today that the 8 billionth, it's hard to say, the 8 billionth person in the world was born today. Now, I don't know how they exactly work that out. But on average, they reckon that as of today, there is 8 billion people on planet Earth. What amazes me is, of those 8 billion people, every one of them is different. Oh, I know they're all sinners. We know that very well from Scripture. But humanly speaking, they're all different. Not one of them has the same fingerprint. And they tell me that 99% of their DNA is all the same, but that 1% is enough to make every one of them different. Different people. 8 billion people, not one of them, even identical twins, though they're hard to tell apart, they're different. And therefore you and I have to make our way through a world of different people. And amongst ourselves, we're all different. And that 1% difference is enough to have caused all the trouble that we have in our world, with fallen humanity and all the differences and divisions of nations and of wealth and education and rich and poor. And that all makes its way right amongst us. And so we need great wisdom, in order that we might all just get on the one with the other, because we're all different. And so this evening we want to just think of how we can be wiser people in the midst of a world of 8 billion people. Now, lest you get uncomfortable and start thinking of all the people that cause you difficulty and trouble, I want to just quote to you the words of D.L. Moody, that great preacher, the man who moved multitudes. This is what D.L. Moody said. He said, "Of all the men in the world that I have met, I've never met a man that's given me so much trouble as myself." Never met a man that's given me so much trouble as myself. What do you think of that? Well, I'll tell you what I think of it. I think D.L. Moody was a wise man if he had grasped that. You see, he had grasped just this fact that he needed wisdom. And really, that's what we want to get out of these meetings. Not to make ourselves smarter or more clever, but to realize that we need wisdom. And it is actually wisdom to know that you need wisdom. And the more wisdom you get, it should cause us to realize that we need more. And to cause really us to realize how little we actually do know. So don't be thinking that as I speak I'm pointing the finger at anyone. It goes right back. This is the person that gives me most trouble. It's the person just that's speaking to you. And therefore, we need it. No, so that really brings me to what I want to speak. I want to think, first of all, of three things just very simply this evening. I want to think of living wisely with myself. And then secondly, we'll think of living wisely with our senses. If we're going to live wise by ourselves, we'll need to be able to live wisely with our senses. And then thirdly, I want to think that hopefully that will help us to live a bit more wisely like our Saviour. We've been trying to see last night and each night how that in Christ are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And therefore, there was none as wise as he. Now, Paul says, of course, we've been trying to show that the wisdom in this book underpins the wisdom that's found in the doctrine of the New Testament. And so the apostle says, Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Why? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're living in an evil, it is a smart world. Man might be getting smarter, but it's a desperately evil world. And that's why we would need wisdom. And that's why I read that Proverbs 13:20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now, another thing that we just need to point out tonight, I'll probably mention this every night, but it's absolutely vital as you read the Proverbs to remind yourselves that they are principles and they're not promises. So even that proverb, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise," that's not a guarantee, but it is a principle. And so therefore, keep that in mind. Now, living wisely by myself. As you come through the book of Proverbs, you will meet many different types of people. And I haven't time to deal with them all, but I'm going to introduce you to three this evening. And just to see the relationship of these three people with wisdom. The number one will be the father. And we'll see with him his responsibility to have wisdom and impart it to the son. Then secondly, we'll think of this character Simple. A little bit like Pilgrim's Progress. We'll think of him and the requirement for wisdom. He needs wisdom. And then finally, the young man. And just the danger of rejecting wisdom. Now, the father, of course, 23 times over in this book you read of my son, my son. And in chapter 4 we really have the words of Solomon as he reflects on the fact that he had a father. And it's lovely to read down and how he reflects on the fact that I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. But notice these words. Verse 4, "He taught me also and said unto me." Responsibility of the father to teach the son. I know this applies to mother and daughter and so on, but in the context of the book, it's written to the young men of Israel, and particularly a father imparting wisdom to his son. You see, that's just the responsibility of the father. It's not and should not always be left to the mother. or the Sunday school teacher, or in the Bible class, or even the preacher. But this book is teaching me that high relationship of all relationships, the Father and the Son. It should be that that is reproduced in the Father imparting wisdom to the Son. Now, what is he to impart? What is his responsibility? Well, as you look down this chapter, you'll see a number of RE words. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. You see, it says that he said unto me. He spoke to me. He sat down with the word of God. And he said to me. That's how he taught. And then as you make your way down, it is that in verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, that it might be received. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. The Father's now not only speaking with his Son, but he's leading. He's leading. And if you come right down to the end of chapter 4, concerned about the pathway that his Son is taking, enter not into the path of the wicked, 14, verse 18, but the path of the just is the shining light. And in verse 27 he says, remove thy foot from evil. Here's a father, and he's an interest in his son's company. Now, let me just put that all together practically tonight. And can I say kindly, and ask you kindly, how are you getting on this? The Father's amongst us. Sitting down with your son and telling him how it should be. Opening the Word of God. You see, we think nothing of driving them on as far as their education is concerned. Get the books opened. Study hard. That's good. Do well. Put in your best. The exam's next week. Do as much as you can. Have you studied? But what about the Word of God? What about sitting down and saying, how are you getting on with this book? Put your best into it. Put everything into it. Wisdom. You say, Jonathan, I'd need to be careful, you know, that I wouldn't say the wrong thing. I wouldn't want to lose him. Listen, dear brother, dear sister. Do you honestly think if you're going to impart the Word of God to a son or a daughter, it's going to harm them? You say, what did David say to Solomon? Do you know what I read? It says that David gave to Solomon the pattern for the porch. Pattern of the house. David gave it to Solomon. Solomon, son, I have something to give you. I'm never going to see it. I've made much preparation and I've expended a right bit of my wealth to put into it. But son, here's the pattern. Here's how it should be. Well, I know we've been privileged and been brought up with the Scriptures. But brethren and sisters, we must pass on the wisdom of assembly truth to our children. The wisdom of the Father to the Son. The responsibility. Don't hold back. He gave unto Solomon the pattern of the porch. You'd think nothing of giving him the keys of the Porsche. What about the pattern of the porch? Responsibility of the Father. My son, he taught me also. We come to this character, the symbol, and we meet him, as I've stressed, right in chapter 1, verse number 4, to give subtlety to the symbol. He requires wisdom. Now, who is the symbol? Well, the Hebrew word is really quite interesting. It will indicate the sort of person this is. The Hebrew word means to be wide open. Wide open. You see, this is the person who really is emphasizing the gullible and the naive side of our nature. Now, if you're sitting in this meeting thinking, which one of these fits me, let me put you out of your misery. There's a little bit of all of these in every one of us. So, you see, there's some people maybe more than others, and there's a naive and a simple, a gullible side. You know, this is the side of us that the marketing companies just love. That naive. You know, the gullible side of us, it loves words like unlimited. It loves those advertisements. Buy now, pay in 10 years' time. Pay later. And, you know, we're all just sucked in by that side of our nature. That's the person that needs skill and craft because they find just in the run of life. Now, of course, spiritually, Proverbs tells us, I think I referred to it last night, Proverbs 14 and 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. So you see, that side of our nature is just prone just to listening to everything and believing it without questioning it. You see, you get into difficult. Maybe there's young couples here and you're starting off just in home and trying to get your finances sorted. You know, there's just that side of you which could just be taken in by these offers and by a world that's trying to get on its feet financially, and you could just be a victim by being a bit gullible. Just be careful, won't you, with these things. That's just by the way. Be careful what you listen to and what you hear. And just believing everything that you hear. Proverbs 4. This sort of person as well, it appeals to them, the whole conspiracy theory movement. You know, they love conspiracies. They believe everything they hear. They will indeed. But that's nothing new. You read about the first conspiracy in the Garden of Eden. You see, what was it that Eve believed naively? That the tree of knowledge and good and evil was a tree to be desired to make one wise. You see, the wisdom that was sensual and evil. And therefore, she fell for it. So, be careful. The simple requires wisdom. And I'm going to show you just in the next person that we meet how that can be exploited in a very serious way, that side. Because we come to the young man. And the young man in Proverbs is, of course, centerpiece, the son. And the danger with him is that he could just resist wisdom. The glory of young men is their strength. And the beauty of old men is the grey head. Well, that's maybe not very fashionable to say nowadays. If you've got a few grey hairs, well, there you are. The Bible says that there's a beauty in it. And I've got a fair few appearing and have no intention of trying to change the colour. But you know, here's the truth, that the young man is valued. Paul wrote to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. I tell you, we need our young people today, brethren and sisters. I hope we value them. But this proverb is teaching me that both old and young are needed. You see, it's a confirmatory proverb. And what it's saying is that the old man has something, the older man has something that the young man doesn't. What is it? He's got experience. And the young man has something that the older man doesn't. He has got strength. Strength. Now, any of us who are getting older, we're very aware of that. That we don't get any stronger the older we get. And therefore we need the young amongst us with their zeal and their strength to be able to do what older people cannot do. I hope in the assembly and where you're gathered that the older folk are not having to do what young people can do with their strength. That would be an embarrassing thing. when really you should be at their feet, benefiting from their wisdom and their experience. And equally, I hope that older people are not having the young with all their strength sitting about doing nothing, because you won't let go. Because that's not wisdom. No, the wisdom needs to be passed on. Yes, you need to lead, but it must be that there's the balance. The balance. Young people, they might get a little bit in your nerves at times, but you remember this, that older people have something that you don't have. They have life's experience. See, when you're saved, speaking personally, when I was saved, I thought I knew it all. I used to listen to some of the things that the older people did and said, and I thought, well, you know, if they would only realize. You see, I had it all sorted out, but you see, the longer I've lived now, I realize that the bulk of the time they were right. And really, I look back and cringe at some of the things that I must have said. You see, I thought I had it all sorted, but I didn't have experience, and young people don't. And you can't get it by being smart. Oh, the smart world would want us just to have the whole thing just easy. They would just like to compress. You know, that's what they do now. They're compressing learning into short periods. Smart learning. But no. You need to have the older people, the experience. Older people, older believers, taking young people with you. Just that they can see the experience that you have. What about in visitation? Round the doors. Visiting the sick. You know, I remember a brother who I was very fond of in hospital. And I thought, well, I better go and see him. I was not long saved at the time. And I went in, sat in the hospital. And, you know, he looked at me and I looked at him. And I hadn't a clue what to say. And, well, what saved the day was a man, let's say, with a grey head who came through the door, another brother. And, you know, I was amazed. He just sat down at the bedside of this older brother. And, you know, he opened his Bible and he read a few verses. What did he read? He read a few verses on the rapture. Isn't that a good thing for somebody who was ill? And then he prayed. And then he left. And I was sitting thinking, well, I wish I was able to do it. But you see, I learned. I learned what to read. I learned what to pray when somebody's in a bed of sickness. Great Bible teacher they might be, but it's not the place to start asking them questions on the book of Zechariah. But it's also not the place to sit and say nothing. But you see, just a little word on the rapture, it just lifted the man. But now, it would be good, older brother, if you took a younger person with you, that they just knew how to do that. You see, experience. And the young person, well, you see, the danger is that because you don't just have the experience, you could be, just look at Proverbs chapter 7 for a moment. Because really, in this book of Proverbs, one of the things that really I explained last night, the structure of the book, but this is another aspect of it which is really vital to grasp. What this book is all about is fundamentally a young man and the choices that he is going to make. And ultimately, the young man and the son in Proverbs has to choose between wisdom and folly. And folly is represented by the strange woman. And wisdom is represented by the virtuous woman of chapter 31. That's his choice. And you see, that's why wisdom and folly are personified as woman. Because it's a young man in view. Now, here's the strange woman, a portrait, at least one of them, of her in chapter 7. Now, just look closely at these words for a moment. Verse 4, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. Now look at this. And beheld among the simple ones. Gullible, naive. What did he discern? I discerned among the youths, the sons, a young man void of understanding. You see, what characterized the young man was just a naivety. And it's really a very sorry tale. You can read it when you go home. His encounter with the strange woman whose husband is away on business. You would think it was 2022. But look what it says at the end. Now get this. Verse 26. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now you see the two characteristics of the young man amongst the simple. And what's the very thing that is the strength of the young man? It is his strength. And yet, he wasn't strong enough for the strange woman. He needed wisdom. So young man, watch the strange woman. And the strange woman could be on your street. The strange woman could be in your workplace. The strange woman could be in your school. The strange woman could be in your pocket. And on your laptop sitting on your desk. And without the wisdom of God, there's not one of us strong enough. Brethren and sisters, it affects us all. A smart world is a cruel world. It's an evil world. May God give us help to walk circumspectly, because many strong men have been slain by her. Wise people. Well, if we're going to be wise people, we need to think of the wisdom of my senses. You know, one of the things that this smart world has done, it has sought to target our senses. And two of them in particular I have read off. They're in this one verse. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, God hath made even both of them. And these are the two senses I just want to speak about for a few minutes, that I believe has been targeted more than anything today for us all. Just look on the street. Just try to give out a few tracts. And what's the great enemy of anybody giving out tracts now? Well, it's people walking along with their ear pods in. So, number one, they don't hear you saying, would you like a gospel tract? And the other thing is the amazing ability to just walk along and scroll on their phone at the same time and navigate around the pavement and walk around things. It absolutely amazes me. And those two senses, the eye, the hearing ear, are both occupied because of their smartphone and because of their smartwatch that's linked to their pods, and everything's just flowing through. That's the smart world. The hearing, isn't it interesting that God puts them both together? The hearing ear and the seeing eye. Now here's a conversation stopper for you. The vestibulo-ocular reflex. If I asked for a show of hands of who knows what that is and has heard of it, well, there probably wouldn't be too many. Or we'll just refer to it as the VOR, the vestibular ocular reflex. What is that all about? Well, that tells me just this, that in actual fact, my eye and my inner ear are both connected by what is actually one of the quickest reflexes in your body. You see, your ear's not just for hearing. Your ear is also for balance. And this VOR will be seen in evidence. Now, don't be trying this in the meeting, but if you turn your head quickly, turn around. Why is it when you move your head quickly that everything's not Everything's not rolling about and shaking. Because you see, it's just the speed with which everything operates between your eye and your middle ear to keep everything just absolutely rock steady. That's amazing. That's how God who has created the hearing ear and the seeing eye, they're connected. Your eye and your ear. Another way in which they're connected with this amazing reflex is in how your eye compensates for your hearing and your hearing for your eye. For instance, if you go out on a dark night out into the car park and you cannot see so well, your hearing starts to compensate. You're more alert in terms of your hearing because you can't see. And equally, if you're in a noisy city or a noisy place and you can't hear, automatically your brain is programmed to make your eyes compensate in how you look at people and look at their lips to try and read what they're saying, and the whole thing compensates one another. They're inextricably linked in terms of balance, in terms of compensation, light and darkness. Now, you apply that spiritually. Brethren and sisters, we need to be balanced believers. And if we're going to be balanced people and wise people, then we need to be in control of our senses. That's really what it means to be sensible. It comes from the Latin word sensibilis, control of your senses. And therefore, well, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to give you three proverbs with regard to your ears. And then I'm going to give you three proverbs with regard to your eyes. So just stay with me on this. First of all is the danger of blocked ears. Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Blocked ears. Just hearing what you want to hear. Do you ever come across someone like that? Maybe you're a bit like that yourself. Just hear what you want to hear. Oh, it was great, you know, they heard the gospel. It's lovely to hear that, isn't it? Somebody heard the gospel. And they were saved. And then they heard teaching and they were baptized. And then they heard about being gathered out to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh no, don't want to hear that. No, don't tell me that. Oh, I don't mind being saved. I don't mind the gospel. But don't go into all that doctrine. No, just don't want to hear that. You just selective hearing. Be blockage. Now listen, dear brother, dear sister, if you're going to be a wise believer, you need to have your ear open to all the Word of God. Hear the whole thing. No cherry picking. No favourite texts. No favourite books. Because when I come to the Word of God and my ears are not blocked, I don't hear doctrines. No, the doctrines are demons and to do with evil. I hear doctrine, singular, always. And so be careful that you don't have blocked ears because, well, it's a principle. His prayer shall be an abomination. Now, that doesn't mean that God will not hear you when you pray. But it does mean that there'll be a limitation to the enjoyment of fellowship that you have with God if you're not obedient. What about the damage from borrowed ears? You say, borrowed ears. Well, you say, I've got my own ears and they're firmly fixed on the side of my head. What would be a borrowed ear? Listen to Proverbs 17:4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. What's that all about? Well, that's just telling me simply that what you are prepared to listen to, in this case, a liar, what you're prepared to listen to is quite a strong indicator of what you would be prepared to repeat and say. See, it's just what you're prepared to listen to. You're prepared to lend your ear to someone. And you know, there's plenty of people out there and they're just looking to borrow your ear. They just love to borrow your ear and fill it with the biggest load of nonsense. Wrong doctrine, gossip, rumors, all that there is that just would do you no good and would not make you any wiser, but they just want to borrow your ear. In fact, there's some people, and they would want to buy your ear. You see, did you see what the strange woman did? What were her naughty words? Her naughty words were flattery. Be careful nobody buys your ear with flattery. What is flattery? Flattery is that you're prepared to say something to someone's face that you wouldn't ever say about them in other places. Tell them they're brilliant, you know, just to get their ear. You know, go out of the meeting and tell, that was a great meeting, really enjoyed that. And then you get into the car, say to your wife, I never got anything from it at all tonight. You're just flattering the person. Just to buy their ear, to borrow their ear. Oh, be careful just with our ears. Wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. But then there's the development of beautiful ears. Oh, this is nicer. Beautiful ears. I don't think personally, I can't speak for anybody else, but there's nothing really maybe that beautiful about her ears, really. Beautiful in the design. But you see, Proverbs 25:12 says, as an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Is there something beautiful just about an obedient ear that's balanced? Just responds to the word of God. It's a wonderful thing that, you know, when you just meet somebody and they just want to know what the truth is. And they're just prepared to obey it. Is that the way you are tonight? Mind you, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Just an obedient ear. It's a beautiful thing. And just willing to obey the truth. Whatever it is. Just what God is asking you to do. You know, what about the beautiful ear of the apostle on the Damascus Road? What did he say? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He says, arise and go into the city and it will show thee what to do. That's just what he did. And then you find a bit further down, he was baptized. Maybe there's a young person here not baptized. I wonder, would you have just the ability to listen to the word of God? They that gladly received his word, an obedient ear, were baptized and added and continued and so on. I can't stay with it. But the Father said, My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto wisdom. That's the ear, the sensory ear. What about the seeing eye? You know, a few statistics here, 90% of all information processed by the brain is visual. The brain processes images 60,000 times faster than text. People remember 65% of what they see compared to 10% of what they hear. 45% of website visitors will leave after only 15 seconds of reading. And you say, here we're sitting with a book tonight. There's not even a picture in it. Are we wasting our time? No. That's the smart world. Brethren and sisters, the only wise God has provided us with the only source of wisdom. It's the word of God. God's not bound by images and emojis. That's what it's descending to now. Communication. Brethren and sisters, number one, three things about your eye. Proverbs 7 and 2. The apple of your eye. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Now, what's the apple of your eye? That's really the pupil. That's the thing that dilates to let more light in. Why do you need more light? So that you can see. What do we need in a dark, evil, smart world? We need as much light as we can get. Brethren and sisters, young people, make the word of God the apple of your eye. Not in your peripheral vision for a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. Make every day you get up the Word of God, the apple and the focus of your eye, because that's the light source to flood your mind. And it's that which will shape your thoughts. Well, is that what you want to shape your thoughts? Or do you want your thoughts to be shaped by the smart world of imagery? Oh, they're powerful. And mind you, there's some that you get into your mind, you'll not get them out. That's why you need that pupil of your spiritual eye to be dilated to the light source of all light sources. That is the wisdom of the Word of God. Flood your mind with it daily. It'll keep you clean. It'll give you direction. Because it is the apple. What about the action of the eye? Proverbs 10 and 10. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. You know, I like people who look me in the eye. I don't mean that you stare at people until they're embarrassed. But I do like when people are talking, you know, that they're not talking over there when they're talking to you. You get a bit worried about people that won't look you in the eye when they're telling you things. And by the way, just let me speak to the younger men here for a moment who are doing a little bit of preaching. You try and develop early on. And you can try it at home with somebody if you want for practice. But when you're on the platform, would you look at your audience? It will double the effectiveness of your message. Look at your audience. Don't be preaching to the back wall and the clock. Do look at the clock. But don't be looking at the back wall and telling the back wall and the lights on the ceiling that they're sunk in ruin, sin and misery. No, it's the people. Connect with them. And if you think that's original, it's not. That's what I was told by a dear brother that many of you will know that was very good to me. Well, I'll mention his name. He's in the glory. A brother, Arnott Caulfield, took me away many a night. And just when you thought you had a good meeting on the way home, well, he would just tell you things that you could leave out. Just tell you just to leave out. I remember one night he told me, you know, he says, if you leave out the words tonight out of your message, you could shave 5 minutes off it. What about that? Just when you thought you had a good meeting. But you see, it was the man with the grey hair just giving experience and wisdom. These are all the things of the eye. Don't be using your eye to deceive people. This here is just a wink. You know, talking to people with an innuendo, saying one thing and then winking at someone as if, you know, don't worry, what I'm saying is not really true. Wink of the eye. That's not wisdom. That's not what God would have us be. Be able to look somebody straight in the eye, knowing that you're telling the truth. You're not winking. The attitude of the eye. Proverbs 30 and 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out. That sounds very nasty. But what in effect it's saying is this. Just be wary of someone now, who mocks their father and mother. Now, it's not that I know young people get embarrassed for their parents. We've all been there. And their lack of ability with technology. And your mother's phone goes off in the middle of wherever with a ringtone that embarrasses you. We've all been there. We know what that's like. But this is something deeper. This is a person who really speaks disparagingly of their mother and father. There's young people here, and you're maybe looking for a husband or a wife. What I would say to you is this. There's somebody who looks with their eye at their mother or father, and they're always being critical. You just move on. Because the likelihood is that same eye that's critical of a mother and a father just be as critical of you when you're married to them. I know these are principles, brethren and sisters. There's people I meet every day and they're not speaking to a mother and father because they're an alcoholic in the street and their mother and father has treated them in such a way they can't have any contact. So these are principles. But you see, just remember, young people, when everybody else has fallen by the way and gone their way, a mother and father, there's a lot to be thankful for. You love them and you value them. Never you cast an eye disparagingly upon them, either to them or to anybody else. Just always look at the relationship people have with their parents. It will tell you quite a lot about them. And so that's the eye. The hearing ear and the seeing eye. I've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. And you say, well, the wisdom about myself, the wisdom of my senses, what about the wisdom of my Saviour? You know, brethren and sisters, it amazes me that the one who made the hearing ear and the seeing eye, he came into this world and he took upon himself a body, and he himself had ears and he had eyes. But you know the ears and the eyes of the Lord Jesus. You know they brought to ears and eyes what they never had before. And that was they bought the holiness of deity. Verily God yet become truly human. Why did he do it? Lower than angels to die in our stead. Was there ever such a young man as the Lord Jesus? I tell you, the child, it says, grew and waxed strong in the spirit. Filled with wisdom, the grace of God was upon him. How could he be filled with anything else but wisdom? How could he be filled with anything else? For says Paul, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wise. Must have been an awful shock for Mary, you know. She did have other children. Must have been quite a shock. She had those other children and they disobeyed her. They needed to be corrected. Never had to do that with Jesus. No. When the other children disobeyed her and she would say, like my mother had to say many's a time, don't you be disobedient. Never had to say that with the Lord Jesus. Oh, he did learn obedience. He didn't have to learn to obey, but he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Experientially, the obedience of the young man, and I was thinking of his obedient ear and his open eye. What is the perfect servant of Jehovah in Isaiah 50? What does it say? He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear. As the learned servant. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned my way back. No, he didn't turn back, never turned his back on anyone. But he gave his back to the smiters, and his cheeks to them that plucked off his hairs. He hid not his face from shame and spitting. The world would look at him and say, what a fool. But brethren, for you and I, the one who is crucified was the power of God and the wisdom of God. And Christ in his wisdom, with his ear open to the learning and to what the Father would impart to him in his words, and the love that the Father had for him would be shared with us and directed towards us. Because he had an open ear. What about his eye? The one who made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. It was the open ear, the obedient ear, but the open eye. I was thinking one day it was the eye of the Creator, you know, himself, that was manifest. He saw a man. Says he saw a man that was blind from birth. Do you know what he was able to do? He was able to take clay spittle. He was able to heal his eyes. Oh, he knew as he looked the retina, the pupil. He knew the very nervous reactions that I have described, reflex reactions. He knew it all, and he was able to fashion. Why? He was the one who made the hearing ear, the seeing eye. So the man was able to say, that one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see.
Well, yes, it was the open eye of the Creator. But you know, it was an open eye of compassion. There was one day, he says, he lifted up his eyes. He saw the multitudes. Saw that they were hungry. His eyes were full of compassion. Brethren and sisters, that's the wisdom of God. Eyes full of compassion. What are your eyes full of tonight? Oh, that you would lift up your eyes and look at the people of Randallstown and have compassion on them. That your eyes might be filled with compassion in their need. A world around us needing the bread of life. He was able to feed them every one. Eye of compassion. As I close, I was thinking of the eye, the open eye of the Savior on the cross. You know, both hearing and sight were very important at Calvary. There came a point from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the world. Darkness. And God targeted the sensory organ of the eye, and it was closed to what was going on. Darkness. And as the pupils of those around the cross dilated to try and take in more and more light, there was none. Why? As the Son of God, shrouded in darkness, was suffering for the sin of the world. God, in His infinite wisdom, laying the sin of the world upon His Son in the darkness. But you know, when the eye is darkened, the hearing becomes more alert. And what were they going to hear in the darkness? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Cried with a loud voice, hearing alert, eyes in the dark. Oh, He wanted them to hear that He was forsaken, that they might never be forsaken. But you know, one of the most beautiful statements that I think we have in Scripture are these. From the cross, the open eye of the Lord Jesus. It says, Jesus beholding His mother. What must it have been for the Lord Jesus Christ from the cross as His eyes looked with the eyes of His mother? An open eye. I tell you, there was no wink. Here was one who saw His mother. And what would He say to her? Woman, behold thy son. To John, behold thy mother. You're thinking of Proverbs 10 and verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father. A foolish son is a heaviness to his mother. I tell you, there was never a son that brought gladness to his father like the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was never a son that never gave a moment's trouble to his mother like the Lord Jesus. He never disappointed her from the womb to the tomb. And even upon the cross, His eye was open in all His infinite wisdom that she might be cared for. The care of a son for a mother. May God help us to be wiser people, wiser to ourselves, wise in our senses. And then we'll maybe be a little bit wiser, just like our Savior, shall we pray. Our Father, we bow to thank Thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for one who was willing and obedient to go all the way to the cross. And we thank Thee, our Father, for the one who made Himself a sacrifice and offered Himself without spot unto God, a sweet smelling savour. We thank Thee for all the treasures of wisdom that are found in Christ, stored up that we might enjoy them, that we might learn from them. Help us to be a wiser people. Preserve our young people tonight amongst us, the young men and the young women that we need so much. O our Father, that they might be the future, that they might grow up to be men and women of God, far exceeding anything that we are. And our Father, we pray for those who are older, that we might have that desire to pass on the valuable experience of life and the wisdom gained, and that everyone might be preserved, and our Father might be encouraged even to walk circumspectly in this
present evil age. So, our Father, we ask thee to take us to our homes in safety tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.